We are going to continue our journey toward Thanksgiving Day, Thanksgiving celebration. And as if I haven't mentioned it before during this last few weeks, I'll mention it now. And as I mentioned during the Christmas season and the Easter time, that these are things that we should celebrate all the time. These are things that we should engage in all of our lives. Just because the calendar strikes it against one day of the calendar doesn't mean that's the only time that we should be grateful or thankful or have an attitude of gratitude, as every preacher on the planet has ever said, right? You know I didn't just make that up. I want you to be in Romans chapter 8 primarily, but there's a few other pieces of scripture that I'll point out along the way. Ask yourself, do you believe about yourself that you are not a faithful person, a person of faith? I want you to think about that. I want you to consider what that means. I'd like for you to not quickly answer that question, because if you quickly answer a question like that, it usually is because it's what you want to be true. Whatever your answer is. And I think that the answer yes is the correct the answer we all want to be true. I want to be a person of faith. But at the same time, if we spend time with God and ourselves alone and get real with the Lord, we might learn that that is a work in progress for all of us from time to time. There's times and situations where we do really great at being people of faith, trusting God, and expecting God to be who He is in those moments. And then there's other times when, even though that we know we should stand in faith and trust God and celebrate who He is in that moment, the challenge is real. It's mostly when we can't see what's happening. We can't see where we're going. We can't see what God is doing. Now, how many of y'all get really frustrated when you don't know what God's doing in your life? If you're not saying amen to that, then you're fooling yourself. Because I think we all get frustrated with things that we don't know. We don't like to be engaged in or be around atmospheres or situations that we're not aware of how things are and what the purposes are and what's going on around us. It is an insecure situation. And I think, by nature, we have this need to at least know if there's a threat around or a concern or a danger or something else. But when we have to walk by faith, primarily, it is very challenging. Should it be challenging? I think so. If it was easy, then everybody'd be a Christian. You know, everybody'd get saved and go live for the Lord, if it was easy. There ain't nothing easy about it. The benefits are amazing, but there's nothing easy about walking in faith. It means you have to take a step not knowing what you're stepping on sometimes or where you're stepping toward sometimes. And it requires trusting God 100%. You were all on board until I said 100%, weren't you? You were like, ah, oh, I could do 75 today. Sometimes we sing songs up here for the purpose of helping us realize some things. Because we can sing, Lord, I need you, all we want to, and it could be true in our hearts and in our minds for the reasons, whatever which way you sing it. But sometimes we need God for that faith. Take that next step of faith. We need the Lord to help us have the strength and the courage and the boldness to just trust Him with whatever is happening. And it's easy to take a step and you put that foot forward and you don't see where it's going. And you can convince yourself you're actually taking that step. But until you actually put the full weight of your body on that foot, you haven't taken that step. Right? Somebody, I'm not going to say names, but somebody said they taught Michael Jackson the moonwalk. We're not walking backwards pretending like we're walking forward, you understand? I'm not even going to tell you who that was. I'll let y'all figure it out. The future is not something that we fear as believers, y'all. God does. We are not people of fear. We're not. Well, how come I'm fearful all the time, preacher? I don't know. You talk to God about that. Probably the same reason I am at times. Why am I afraid? Why am I concerned? Why am I having anxiety over things that I know God has it in his hands? Do we believe that God sets us up to fail? I think everybody wants to say no. God never sets any of us up to fail. So where's the anxiety coming from, you see? And I know it's easy for me to stand up here on Sunday morning and say all that. It wasn't too many weeks ago. You could have seen me on a Friday afternoon, and it was what I'm preaching right now is a little bit of a challenge, and some of y'all know what I'm talking about. But he doesn't set us up to fail. And the future is not something that we should fear, be fearful over. It's something that we should actually thank God for in advance. Did he tell us to go make disciples? Yeah. Are we wanting to make disciples? Yeah. So as we move forward in faith and take faith steps in our lives and as a church, we should expect God to respond to that. We should expect God to provide opportunities for disciple making so that we would be successful in completing the task that we've been assigned. Just do that one thing that's in front of you today. Love that one person or those few people that God has for you to love today. In the name of Jesus. Well, I don't know. Those people, they may never come to church. Love them anyway. You don't know what the Lord's going to do in their life. You don't know where they are with the Lord. You know how many people were just standing around, not going to church, not giving their life to Christ because they feel like nobody's asking them to? Nobody's invited them? Nobody cares enough? Why should I do it on my own? They need help. They need strength. They need courage. They need it from us. They need to say, look, all your friends are doing it. You might as well give your life to Jesus. And then you walk with them to the Lord. You escort people to the Lord in by faith. And we praise God in advance. We should every day in our prayer life, as we pray for our congregation, as we pray for our family members, look at around the room, praying for the seats that are emptied. And thank God for the ones that are going to come and sit in those seats. Thank God for the ones that are going to sit in those seats after they've given their life to Christ. And thank God for the ones they're going to bring with them as they start making disciples. Thank God that we are becoming a stronger and stronger church every day, every time something happens. Every event, every world event that happens that affects our congregation, God is doing something. He's making us stronger. He's building us up. He's preparing us for the next thing. So we thank the Lord that he's working in us. We thank God for what he's about to do. If we don't thank God in advance, doesn't that show whether or not we're people of faith? Hello? You ever think about that? What is it that you've been praying for, just you personally? What is it is on your personal prayer list that you've been talking to God about for a while? And then you can ask yourself, have I been thanking God for that answer while I'm talking to him? Have I said to God, Lord, I know I've been bringing this to you. It's in your hands. I'm trusting that your will be done. And I thank you for that. I thank you for that response. I thank you for making this happen. I thank you for making a way for us to do what we need to do. Whatever your prayers are. If we're just shouting out orders and asking God to do us some favors and we don't ever say thank you, what's that all about? Right? Or are we waiting for things to happen so God can prove that he's faithful? Then we say thank you. I think that's not the right way to do it. And I'm not trying to be harsh here. I'm just kind of opening up the wounds so we can see how God's going to help us. His promises are guarantees, y'all. guarantees. If it was that you and I are going to get saved and go into the world and make disciples, that's the command. And that was it. It would be extremely intimidating and I wouldn't be here. But he said, go into the world and make disciples and I'll go with you. That's what he said. He didn't say go by yourself. He didn't say do it your own way. He didn't say do it however you want. He said go in my name, making disciples in my name, and I, wherever you go, I'll go with you. You're not alone. You won't be alone. And if the Lord is with me, how can I fail? If my Savior, the one who died on the cross, is with me, resurrected from the dead, is with me, wherever I go and whatever I do, how could I lose? How could I fail? Right? So why not just start thanking him now? Why not just start living in attitudes like, man, the Lord's going to do some great things today. So thank you, Lord. Praise God. Just walk, be that person that walk around all the time. Thank the Lord. Praise the Lord all the time. Somebody's going to say, why are you praising the Lord all the time? Because he's about to do some great things. If you stay around and watch, he'll figure it out. What comes out of us is what is in us, by the way. You know what a movie trailer is, right? People make movie trailers so that you can get a glimpse of what's going to be in the movie. But they don't tell you everything. They want you to come and see the movie. So they give you just enough to get you interested and excited about what's going to happen in that movie. So you come running with all your money and you buy all this expensive popcorn and Coke and you sit down and watch this movie because of the movie trailer. Am I right? How many of y'all know that we're on a need-to-know basis with God? I know you don't like that one either. You're on a need-to-know basis with God, y'all. I don't like it any more than y'all do. I want to know what's happening. But God wants to know, do we trust him? God wants to know if we're on his plan. And if you can't figure it out, part of the reason why you're on a need-to-know basis is because if you can get on board with God's plan without knowing what the plan is, that's 100% faith. If you have to know what the plan is first so you can sign off on it, then that's something else. Am I right? So let's take courage because we know the Lord. We know the Lord wants to bless us. He wants us to be a blessing. We have Christ. We have everything we need to be successful in this world as we move forward in ministry, however long the Lord lets us do that. We've already thanked God for all the things in the history of our church and in our lives. We're thanking God for what he's doing right now in our lives. And we need to start thanking him for what he's about to do tomorrow, the rest of today. All right, here we go. You guys are like, I thought we were already going. Isaiah chapter 65. Verse 17, just a snapshot of Isaiah. A lot of the scripture in Isaiah talks about future things and things that are going on for eternity. Okay, but we're looking at this particular snapshot in this scripture to remind ourselves of the character of God. All right, as we look at what we're talking about. So here it is. For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, 65 verse 17, and the former things will not be remembered or come to mind. I'm doing a personal study on the significance of the pillar of salt. To be honest with you, because I don't totally understand why is it that when Lot's wife turned around, she turned into a pillar of salt. I know what some explanations are. I'm pondering on, it's stewing in my mind, what is this significance of this? Because she's looking backward instead of forward. I understand why. I want to know some more details. Point is, the Lord wants, if we're going to be serving the Lord and making disciples and being about the Lord's work, we're looking forward, y'all. We're looking at what God is about to do because he doesn't always leave us in the dark, right? On a need-to-know basis means when you need to know something, it will be revealed so that you can see and respond by way of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. And your willingness to go with that, right? So if I'm worried about what's going to happen when I'm 75, and I'll miss out on everything in between. I'm not I got a lot of time before I'm 75, if I get that much time. So God speaks through Isaiah to a discouraged nation in this moment. That's often in the Old Testament, by the way. They're all the time discouraged. He's painting a picture of a renewed future. Everything's going to be all right. God's got this. And many times when the nation of Israel were discouraged, it's their own doing. The consequences of their own behavior. And God was allowing hardship to correct them and resituate them and get their attention. Hello? So just because God's not doing what you think we want him to do doesn't mean he's not doing something. Because we may need to be prepared. It's not only about eternity, this verse. It's about God's pattern. It's about his character. It's about the way he does things. He's always, when Jesus went to the cross, he said, look, I'm making all things new. The whole plan has always been that God would take that which is broken or destroyed by sin and make it new again. That's you and me, by the way. Right? You know how you glue something together, super glue, back in the days when it was just only super glue, but now you got all these other glues? Either way, you break something and you're trying to get it fixed before mom gets home. Well, that glue don't dry fast enough for that. And you're sitting there just holding it, hoping it don't move so it would eventually hold together. And then your fingers are stuck to it after a while. And you got to explain all of that. God's trying to make something new here, y'all. He's trying to make something new in you every day. You realize that? It's not just when you get saved that you're just automatically new and that's the end of it all. Every day, God is making me new again. Because I'm not the same man that I was yesterday if I'm allowing God to make me new every day. I'm not the same man I was last week if I'm allowing God to make me new every day. Is there something wrong with what he did yesterday? No. Something wrong with what he did last year? No. He's always making it better. Always making it bigger. Just because you got a great church, and we have a great church, by the way. Two amens. Love it. As God pours in new wine, right? As he continues to pour in more blessing, so we can go and be a more of a blessing, and we can pour more into the community, he will make the church new every day, every week, every month, every year. And if we live long enough and Jesus tarries, the church will not be the way it was last year. It won't be the way it was 20 years ago. It'll be completely different because it'll be more people here, different people here. And every time another person comes or be part of the family, it changes the dynamics of the family. God's making everything new and great and bigger and better. Just because a husband and a wife have a child and their family's great and everybody loves each other, when they have another child, it doesn't take away from the family. It adds to, making the family bigger, making the family better. It was nothing wrong with it before, but now you got this new person and it changes things now. God is always making things better, making them new. God's future for his people outshines even the best memories we could ever have together. Memories aren't bad, they're just, you can't dwell in them. Memories are good and they're an awesome tool for praising God, but we don't live there. We live now so we can praise him for the future. And whatever God's doing for us tomorrow is going to be way better than today. If you had a great day in the Lord, right, and you walk around praising God and you're like, man, I get to live this life and go be with Jesus when it's over. It's what an amazing life this is. You think that's great. Wait till tomorrow when he makes it all new again. So we're gonna be thankful for the past as a people of faith and as a church of faith, and we're gonna trust God's future in 2026, as long as he gives it to us. People of faith. Let me catch up with myself. Habakkuk, how many of y'all read that every day? It's not very long. You could read it. You could read it, you know, before you even get out of bed if you wanted to. This guy, he doesn't have an argument with God. He just pretty much gets honest with God. The whole thing is him talking to God about his feelings, about the condition of his community and of his nation, of his people, and wanting to know, why is God doing what he's doing, or why isn't God doing what he thinks God would do? If, you know, why, first off, why would you let Israel get the way it is? Second off, why would you let the Babylonians come and do what they're about to come and do? Now, how many of y'all believe, now don't answer this out loud, how many of y'all believe that it's wrong to question God? Think about it. Now, it depends, doesn't it? It depends on what you mean by question God. Am I interrogating God and demanding some answers? Then maybe we're out of line. But it's not wrong to communicate with God and ask him, why? What is this about? Why are we doing this? Or why would you do that? Because basically he's saying, how are you going to let them heathen, non-Jewish people come and do this bad thing to your Jewish, chosen, sinful people? As if for some reason their sin is not as bad as their sin. Of course, he was on a need-to-know basis also. Hope that makes you feel good. This is God. This is how God responds to part of what he was saying in chapter 1 and verse 5. He says, look among, this is what God says to him, look among the nations. Observe. These are all exclamation points in the New American Standard. Look among the nations and observe. Be astonished. Wonder. Because I'm doing something in your days. And then he says, you would not believe if you were told. Right? Because a while ago I said, y'all know we're on a need-to-know basis, right? And everybody was like, oh, I know. And then, you know, and then I know somebody in the room had a thought like, why do we have to be on a need-to-know basis? And they won't say it out loud, but somebody thought that, because I thought that. Right? Why wouldn't God just help tell us what's going on so we could all just jump on board? And here's the answer. Because he's doing something that you wouldn't believe if he told you. That, I think that's true for most of us. If God explained to you exactly what he's doing in your life, in your family, here at our church, if he laid it out there and it was simple for us, we would be like, no, he ain't doing that. Ain't no way he's going to. No, that ain't going to happen. Want to know how I know that's true? Because he said from Genesis, when he kicked Adam and Eve out of the garden, he said, I'm going to fix the problem of sin. And then when it come time for Jesus to come into the world and go to the cross and be resurrected, everybody was like, nah, that ain't the way it is. That ain't what's happening. Jesus was walking around telling them, I'm here. I'm the Messiah. I'm going to solve the problem. And they were like, nope, you're not the guy. So even if God told us what it was, we would never be able to believe it. Not because we're not people of faith or we don't really trust God. It's because who knows the mind of God? Who can absorb the ways of the Lord all at once? So he's doing us a solid by not telling us stuff. That means a solid favor for you older folks. So young people talk that way. He's blessing you by not telling you. Now, I'm going to speak for myself for just a quick moment, just only for myself. I'm on a need-to-know basis also, because if he told me to plan, I would say to him, well, how come we can't do it this way? Or how come it's not better to do it this way? And I'll just start redesigning the whole plan. Not because I think I know better than God, but because sometimes I'm just not aware of the things that I say to God and what they mean. He wrestled with a discouraging present, Habakkuk did. I don't think that's how he says that. That's how you pronounce his name, but that's how us Americans pronounce it. And God responded by explaining everything, but not by explaining everything, but by promising that he's busy doing something. God said, look, I'm working. I got this. Just relax. Go with the flow. Chill out. Relax. Because when I stand up here and talk about, let's go out and make disciples and let's go out and do ministry and let's put it in another gear and get some momentum, I know it scares everybody. It scares the fool out of me too. Not because I don't trust God, but because I know that when we start seeing the fruit of our labor or of God's work, it's going to be amazing and overwhelming. Right? And it's going to be challenging. It's going to be different. Different always scares. When people are doing a play, I don't know how many of y'all go to plays. Sometimes I have had the occasion to go to certain plays here and there. And I have rarely been involved in plays, but we had a church one time we were part of that did plays in there on the stage, and they had a bunch of people, and they put on Christmas plays. And they spend a lot of time rehearsing over and over again, doing the play, learning their lines, and practicing together. Nobody sees all that. And then when the showtime comes, nobody sees the results of their practice until the curtains come up, and then suddenly the show is on. And it's usually pretty good. It's usually amazing. This is the way it is with the Lord. Things are in the works. He's doing some great things. And as we take each step of faith, trusting God, He'll continue to lift the curtains as needed to reveal the great things that He's doing so that we can stay close and be part of it and participate and be used. Because we're not really watching the play, are we? We're in it. We're part of it. We're a tool for Him to use. We're the people He's using to go love people. We are Jesus with skin on, y'all. Every day, if the Lord is allowed to use us in that way. So don't interpret silence or inactivity as God forgetting something or not responding or forgotten about the church or forgotten about you. God's not going to use us. He does those great things at that church down the road. No. He'll do great things at every church that serves Him and loves Him and preaches His word and loves people. So we're going to trust that God is working in us. We're going to thank the Lord for what He's doing in us right now so that we can thank the Lord for what He's about to do. I don't know what's going to happen here. Exactly. I know what I want to happen here in our ministry. I know what God wants to happen here in our ministry. I don't have no idea how it's going to play out, except for we're going to just keep rolling. We're going to thank the Lord for the people that are about to get saved in the coming years at this church. People are going to get saved at this church. People are going to know God at this church. There are going to be people who are saved that God's going to bring here to help us do the ministry. And we're going to thank the Lord for those people. Now we're going to thank the Lord for those people. Right? Because otherwise we're standing on the porch saying, when's God going to answer? As if He's never going to answer our prayer. And I just have a hard time saying that that's 100% walking in faith. Trusting God. We got to stop worrying about when is God going to answer the prayer. Just know that He's going to answer it. And thank the Lord He's going to answer it. And thank God that we get to be a part of it. All right, and here's where I really want to dwell on. How much time do I got to dwell? Romans chapter 8, verses 24 to 28. I want to tell y'all something before I read that. I'm probably going to start off in verse 26. But most of my Christian life, as I got saved and started craving the Word of God in my heart, at some point early on, in my milk-sipping days, I came across verse 18 of chapter 8. And it became sort of my life verse for a long time, just all by itself. It was a verse that would keep me going because things were hard. And verse 18 says, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed in us." All right, and that verse, for many different reasons, saved my Christian life along the way. Kept me chasing after God when things got hard, when things didn't make sense, when I was on a need-to-know basis and God didn't think I needed to know why this and why that, or why don't you answer this prayer? And I had some serious prayers going on, y'all, about serious things. And they weren't turning out the way my prayers were being at. Called to God over. In other words, it wasn't yes, you can have whatever you want, and no, you can't. You don't have to do. No, it was you're either on my plan or you're not. So let's just do my thing. That's the way God answered me. And some of those prayers had to do with some suffering in my life, or suffering in my son's life. right? So this helped me learn how to exist in the present, knowing that the future is way better, and honor God. Sometimes the present isn't all that bad, right? Sometimes there's barbecue on the table and the right teams are winning football and all your friends are happy with you and everything's great. But other times it's not that way, is it? But it doesn't change what God's doing, and it doesn't change who He is, and it doesn't change what's going to happen when it's all said and done. And it certainly doesn't change our assignment. So I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed. I held on to that because greater things are coming. Even if things are great, greater things are coming. Have you ever ate too much barbecue and made yourself sick? That's some suffering, but it's worth it, right? And have you ever had consequences for your behavior that you just really wish you could escape, and the Lord said, no, you're forgiven, but I'm not taking away the consequences. It's for your own good, right? If God took all my consequences away, I would keep on sinning because I wouldn't know better, right? Verse 26, let's do this. Talking about victory in Jesus here. In the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness, praise the Lord. For we do not know how to pray as we should. But the Spirit, that right there will preach by all by itself. But the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words, y'all. And He who searches the hearts knows that the mind of the Spirit is knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because He intercedes for the saints according to the will of God, y'all. And here we are for this morning, and we know. It doesn't say we suspect or we think or we hope. It says we know that God causes all things to work together for good. Well, that would be great by itself, wouldn't it? If we finish reading that, it says, together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. Well, raise your hand if you love God. That would be you. Raise your hand if you're called according to His purpose. Same people, raise your hands. Even if you don't know you're called to it, I'm telling you, you're called to it. Here's how I know. Go into the world and make disciples. If you're a saved believer, you're called to go do that. That's the purpose. That's it. That's the goal. There's many, many ways God will use you to do that, but that's the goal. That's the purpose. And it says, we know. We can know it. Confidence. Not maybe, not if, not whatever. Know it. That God causes all things to work together for good. Those are the kind of scriptures that allow me to lay my head down at night and sleep, knowing that if I don't wake up tomorrow, everything will be all right. Even if the day was full of bad things, I can still lay it down saying, the Lord's got all this. And it may be a bad day today. It could be a bad year. whatever you're going through. We sang this morning, it is well with my soul. And y'all, most of y'all know how that song came about. From tragedy in a man's life. How do you sing a song like that after tragedy? How do you sing a song like that after things have changed dramatically and permanently in your life? And you're asking God, why are these things happening? Why are you allowing this? Or you're preaching at a church with some great people, and we keep praying for the church to keep moving forward and keep growing. And we want people to come. We want people to get saved. Not just to fill up the church, but for people to get saved and to bring glory to God. But it seems to take longer than I want it to. Just being honest. Nobody's failing. It's just God's time, y'all. So it has to be well with my soul, doesn't it? If it's not well with my soul, then I'm the only one suffering over it. unless I just make it everybody's problem. I know y'all, don't say nothing. Just pray for the preacher. We have to look at the bigger picture of Oak Grove, the bigger picture of our homes, the bigger picture of our person, our lives as Christians. If you could see from the day you're born until the day the Lord calls you home as an entire one story told, you would be amazed. But that's not how we live, is it? We live in the moment. We live in right now. We live in what happened yesterday. Some people are stuck in what happened yesterday because it was bad and they is traumatized and they don't know how to have tools to get away from it or leave it where it is or grow from it. Some people are stuck in yesterday because they were the quarterback of some high school team and they're 65 years old and haven't done a thing with their life because they're living in that dream. Nothing wrong with admiring what you used to be when you were spry. But what have you done since then? You missed opportunities to be great in other ways if you're living there in the past. Live right now. What's the Lord doing right now so that you can do whatever it is there is in the future for making disciples, for loving people? I'm about to hit the runway, y'all. Because God works all things for good, our future is a place of expectation. Whatever is coming down the road for any one of y'all, any of your homes, this church, any church that loves God and is preaching the truth, it's going to be good. Right? How many of y'all like good? Just one of you? Come on, y'all. I know it's getting late. How many of y'all like good? Everybody likes good. I like good. I expect things to be good. Why do I expect things to be good? Because that's our God. That's what our God does. That's who He is. And it's for those who love God, that's what the good is for. Right? Which is why we are compelled to go and tell everybody we know. Because some people don't love God. They don't know they don't love God, but they don't. That's why they're not saved. If they're not saved, how can they love God? You can't love God and not let Him be Lord in your life. And you certainly can't accept His free gift of salvation and not love Him. Chew on that for a while. All right. I really am getting ready to be done. Thank you. All right, here it is, y'all. The future, your home, your life, your personal, the church, we have to get away from what the world is teaching us to do. The future is not something that we endure. I'm just getting through. I'm just going to hang on. Sometimes, I mean, I've been there. I don't know if y'all been there, but I've been there where I'm just like, man, somebody needs to stop this ride so I can get off. Because it ain't good anymore. It don't feel good. It don't feel fun. It don't feel right. Well, God is doing something in all of that, y'all. And there's things that are going on in my life in the recent time period that the things that happened years ago prepared me to be able to deal with. And if God didn't do what He did back then, I would never survive what's going on now, good or bad. What promise of God are you thanking Him for ahead of time? As you go toward Thanksgiving celebrations, what are you thanking God for ahead of time? Are you thanking God for your family and your relationships? Are you thanking God for the provision in your life and the peace that comes knowing Christ? Are you thanking God for that relationship that just doesn't work in your life? That God's going to do something to make that better? Are you thanking God for those that you thought would never get saved that one day they're going to be sitting somewhere in the world praising God? Are you thanking the Lord for that? Are you thanking Him for having His way here at the church? Are we thanking the Lord for future ministry? Are we thanking the Lord for another young person or people to come and help with whatever we need here? another staff member as we grow? Are we thanking the Lord for whatever the Lord brings to us? I'm thanking the Lord for being amazing. Are we thanking the Lord for protecting us from ourselves in the future? Are we thanking God for the unexpected blessings? You might know what I'm talking about. You're just going about your business. You're trying to get your errands done. You're trying to live your life and do your thing, right, in this world the way we do. And suddenly something happens with somebody in the world. You interact with somebody, and God is like a God moment for you or for someone else or for both. And you spend the rest of the day going, wow, I never saw that coming. Are we thanking the Lord every morning? Lord, whatever you're about to do today, don't let me miss it. It's going to be great. Thank you for it. It seems crazy, doesn't it? Right? But I should wake up in the morning and look at her and say, thanks for being my wife for another 24 hours if we get it. I mean, I know she's going to be my wife for another 24 hours, Lord willing, right? Why not thank her for that in advance? Right? I mean, she's great at it. God's blessed me. God's blessed y'all. What is there to not be thankful for? Look, you think about this storm. We were talking about that, and I'm done. I got a couple more minutes. We think about this storm. We were talking about it in the hallway a while ago. When the storm happened, it was, it's hard to describe what it was like when it was all happening. By the time we got to the church and the phone started working, it was ready, set, go time. God was doing something that we couldn't stop. And y'all know what it was like around here. And all y'all were involved. We were all doing things that we shouldn't be capable of doing. And the community all around the country came to help us do it. And if y'all don't remember, we've been praying for a long time that God would use our church in great ways before that. Well, we didn't know. Like, if we would have known that's what it was going to be, how many of y'all would have said, yeah, let's pray it different, a little bit different? Right? Just be aware. Be aware of what we're being prepared for. And let's just start being thankful for that. Let's start getting excited for that. Because I'm letting y'all know, I believe 100%, and I trust God, that if he says, go make disciples, and we do that, he will bring people here to get saved. He will bring people here to serve God. And we won't be able to stop it. So thank you, Lord, for that. I'm going to have a word of prayer real quick. Then we're going to sing. Our invitation, this always confused me because sometimes the title of the song is the same as the other song. But I'll look at the board. If you got anything you want to say, or if you want to make a decision to be saved, now is the time to do it as we sing. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll obey what I command. And he said, if you want me to be your Lord and Savior, then you'll confess that I'm Christ and you'll repent and become a believer. Baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit so that you can be lifted up anew in Christ again. Let's stand together and sing.